Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. All right, welcome back, everyone, to another episode. I have another great interview here for you guys. I have Deidre here from Slay This Debt, and we have been Instagram friends for a really long time, and I've loved following her journey, and I wanted to bring her on to share some of her amazing tips with you guys, share a little bit about her family story. She is a mother to four children. They have paid off a ton of debt. She's going to tell you a little bit more about that. They are a military family. She was in the military, and she became a stay-at-home parent, and her husband is still in the military. And I love their story. I love everything that she shares. And so I know you guys are going to love her as well. So just feel free to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit more about your family story and how much debt you've paid off and your military career and all of that good stuff.
Cool. Hello, you guys. And thank you so much, Sammy, for having me on. And yes, congratulations on this podcast and all the amazing things that you're doing right now in the community. I'm really, really proud of you.
Thank you.
So let's see. So I am currently a stay-at-home mom. My husband and I met in the military, and I was pregnant with our fourth child. And I went to check to see how much the daycare was going to be, and it was like $1,500. And I was like, oh boy, we have a problem.
Yeah.
So, and at this time, my husband and I were not really focused on finances. In the military, it's pretty customary for service members to live paycheck to paycheck. We're so used to getting that paycheck on the 1st and the 15th that we're really not that focused on like financial goals. And that's where my husband and I were. So we just decided that they wanted too much for daycare, and it was time to go ahead on and make a transition. And I became a stay-at-home mom, and it was very, very hard, that transition and just walking away from my military career. But it's really important to note that my children, they were in daycare from 5 o'clock in the morning to about 5 o'clock in the evening. And yeah, it was just really, really stressful on them and just our family as a whole. So I just decided to go head on and become a stay-at-home mom. And so we went down from 2 incomes to 1 income. However, our spending behaviors did not change.
Right.
So still going to Target, still going to Starbucks. I was still just like living it up. And our account, it just kept going negative. And I'm like, what is going on? So finally, I was looking up like just finances, and I was praying like, God, I need some help. I don't know what to do. And some kind of way, I stumbled upon Dave Ramsey, and I stayed up for hours that night just researching, and that prompted me to pull up all of our, you know, bank account statements and just everything. And I took all the numbers and everything to my husband, and we started our journey. So that was January 2015 was the official date of our journey. It took us 24 months to get out of $80,000 worth of debt. Actually, we just recently did the calculations, and it was actually $92,000, but because we've been saying $80,000 for so long, I just maintain that, but it was really $92,000. And when I look back, I'm just baffled. I'm just mind blown at how much debt we were in and how normal. It just felt so normal.
Yep.
So yeah, we got out of debt, and that was, you know, with my husband working multiple jobs and just me being creative. And so now we're debt-free, and here we are.
Yeah, that's amazing. Y'all's story is so similar to ours in so many ways. For one, we started the same exact month. I didn't realize that we had we started our journeys the same month, and it was kind of the same thing. I was running a business outside of the home, and up until we were trying to get pregnant with our second daughter. You know, we were planning that, and I was like, okay, I need to go ahead. And, you know, I had had a miscarriage, and I attributed a lot of that to stress, which, you know, it's so common for women to blame themselves, but I attribute a lot of it to stress. And so I was like, if I'm going to have a healthy pregnancy this time, like I'm going to go home. I need to be home. And so I closed up the business, and kind of similar in a lot of ways, like with your military career, like I'm sure you had worked so hard for that career. Like that doesn't just fall into your lap, and to give that up for your family like that, that's huge. That's so huge. And that's kind of similar, but different. I know.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. To running your own business. Like I had built this business, and to close it up and kind of shift gears on my dreams for what I felt like was best for my family was huge. And, kind of the same thing. Like all of a sudden we didn't have that money. Not that I really ever turned a profit with my business, because I'll be honest, I really didn't. But I would, you know, borrow from the business money and then borrow from the personal money, and kind of that juggle. We became really used to that juggle. And that juggle wasn't there anymore. And it took about a year for it really to catch up with us. So kind of the same thing. Like we just kept living the same way. And yeah. It never really occurred to us that maybe we should cut back our spending if our income is low. You know, absolutely. And you're just like, you look back and it's kind of like, how did we, like you said, like it felt so normal. How did we not realize that we were doing some pretty dumb things? Like, I just want to go back and just slap myself. Like, what was I doing? And I love how you're like, you're talking about your numbers and you're like, I don't, you know, the exact amount. That's kind of how I feel. When we first added it up, it was like 470,000, but ours was like 3 pieces of real estate. It was ridiculous. But then it somehow got to like 490. I think there was like things that we added in. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, y'all, I did not know I was going to be sharing this with people. I was just trying to survive. So forgive me if my numbers aren't 100%. The point is we're debt-free.
Right. Because I was actually, once I actually calculated it up again, I was embarrassed. Like, okay, 80,000, I was already embarrassed. But then when I saw 92, I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, you just like, and it's so true that it feels so normal. And you're probably a lot the same as me, is like, I felt like, hey, we're a young family, we're raising kids. It's just normal to live paycheck to paycheck, to just kind of be broke. Like, yeah, we're feeding kids. Of course we're broke. You know, it felt so normal. And you guys are probably like a lot the same as us with that.
It's like, as long as the bills are paid, like we're good.
Yeah. You're like, hey, we're living the dream over here. We're raising kids and buried in debt. And isn't that normal?
Exactly. And
that's why I love, you know, I really love to try to bring other people's perspectives in. And I feel like it's so great that we have the debt-free community, and that we have the internet and podcast and YouTube and all the things that we have, because you're just like, I'm not alone. There are other families with young kids. There are other families that transition from two incomes to one. There are other families who are embarrassed about how much debt they had, and we're all in this together. We can do it.
We're all one big family.
Yes. We totally got this. And I love like how you do all your YouTube videos, and you show, I love following other mothers on Instagram. I get so connected. Like I start to connect with people, and I start to, you know, like I could recognize people's kids without even seeing their Instagram handle, you know, and I love seeing all the things that you post about your kids, and you guys are just putting this positive family vibe, and I love it. I remember it was a couple weeks ago when you were doing the encouraging notes.
Yeah.
Tell them that story where one of your kids wrote back. Tell it so I don't tell it wrong.
Okay. So one of my things for 2019 is like, one of my goals is I want to be a more intentional parent.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I really wanted to do was at least speak a positive or inspirational message to them every day. And so there is this whiteboard I'm actually looking for it right now because I changed it up so much. I think it was when I was a Brave, you are
Yeah, and one of your kids wrote back, like, added mom into all of the positive words.
I cried.
I almost cried reading your Instagram post because I was like,
so I wrote, "You are smart, you are brave, you are great." And I just wrote that on the whiteboard and I just walked away. And then, you know, they got ready for school and everything. And I came back and they put mom. So you are smart, mom, you are brave, mom, you are great, mom. Oh my goodness. I cried.
That is so sweet. But I just think that's such a testament to it. You know, I say this all the time, but it's not just about the money. You know, it is about literally like changing your family tree. I know that it's said so many times and time again, but it is. And it's just, it goes into every aspect of your life. You start to pay attention to this, it spills over into that. And now, you know, you're raising humans, like these kids are going to be awesome adults because of all of the intentional things that you guys are doing right now. And for a child to think to write that to their mother, like, that's not normal. Like, that's not just an average kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is a special family vibe going on. And I just think that's so great. And that's why I love, you know, talking to other moms and following other young families and things like that. I just think it's so great.
Well, you actually had this really amazing podcast episode that really, really inspired me. And it was where you talked about the way that you do one thing is the way that you do everything. And I think you said that your father taught you that.
Yeah.
But you also saw it in like Star Wars, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the way that you like focus, how you're hyper-focused on your finances, that stuff carries over into every area of your life. And so for me, it really has carried over into parenting.
Yeah.
And so I'm just getting basically I'm yielding the effects of that from
right now. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, it's everything. Like my daughter's birthday party, the time they're recording this, it's tomorrow. And we were shopping earlier and, you know, we didn't really do a lot for her birthday. We're taking her, some of her friends bowling. So we didn't like get a lot of decorations. We're spending the birthday budget on bowling. And she made some comment about, well, that's, you know, it's not really about, I think she couldn't get the cupcakes she wanted is what it was. And she's like, it's not really about the cupcakes. It's not really about the decorations. It's just really about having my friends and just having fun. And I'm just like, you know, oh my gosh. But, you know, you're just teaching them, you're on the surface, you're just trying to have a frugal birthday. You're like, okay, we're not spending like $500 on a birthday party. We're just going to take a couple friends bowling. We're going to have some homemade cupcakes and we're going to call it a day. Right. And, but there's so many more layers to that with the, you know, all of the intentional parenting. And you're kind of, you're making the homemade cupcakes, so you're slowing down to have the conversations, and then that just spills over into everything. Yeah. And I love that there's kind of this like movement of this intentional parenting going on. And I just think that it's so, so needed. And the examples that we're setting for our kids is like, it's phenomenal, way, way beyond. So I want to talk a little bit about some of your best frugal tips and some of your really popular YouTube topics. And so feel free to kind of just throw in, you know, whatever topics you would like to share. But I was watching to get ready for the interview. I was kind of skimming back through some of your YouTube videos and all of that. And for one, you have 12,000 YouTube subscribers. That is insane. Like, how do you feel like sharing with 12,000 people on YouTube? That's amazing.
I am like every day I'm shocked and I just feel incredibly like blessed, and it motivates me to continue to share, because if I can help just one person, like I'm basically being the voice that I wish that I had when I first started my journey or even before my journey.
Yeah.
So I just, I'm just, I'm sorry, I'm lost for words. Every day when I check my YouTube channel, I'm just shocked and I just feel incredibly blessed. And it just makes me know that I know that it helps me to understand that I'm doing the right thing. I'm on the right track pretty much.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And that's how I feel a lot. Like, you know, You're probably like me, like a lot of people. I've had so many emails of people like, well, I wish that I was as brave as you to do a video or do a podcast. And I'm like, you don't, like, you're nervous every time. I'm sure you're the same way. Like, you're nervous. Like, but when you feel that call on your heart, you've got to do, like, you know that it's not just about you. It's not just about, like, are you nervous? Do I have time to do this? Blah, blah, blah. You know, you just, you get that little God tap on your shoulder and he's like, this message, I put you through this struggle to share. And that's how I feel. Like, I know that this journey is about so much more than just me. And you just keep going and sharing and helping people and being that voice you wish you would have had. And I think that that's so great. I really freaked out because, like, I didn't realize that you had so many. And I was like, oh my gosh. That's
it's awesome. Really interesting because some of the videos that are the most popular on my YouTube channel, like, I didn't even plan to, like, upload them. Some of them I was like, you know what? I don't really think that this one is going to get a lot of views. Like, I think people are going to think I'm too frugal. And so I was not going to upload them. And it turns out those videos were the ones that really, you know, got a lot of views and a lot of people commenting, you know, thanking me or giving me more frugal advice, or it's just amazing. Like, I love it. I love what I do. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just kind of taking some notes on some things that kind of just popped out at me. And I love how, which we did Instagram Live together a couple weeks ago, and we kind of talked about this as well, about how minimalism has played a huge part in your journey and, like, downsizing your house and all of that, kind of that contentment behind all of that stuff. So what's your take on the whole minimalism thing and some of the frugal tips that go behind that in that theme?
Okay. So minimalism is huge. So for me, it really started with when my husband and I were both working. My house was such a mess that I ended up having to get a cleaning lady, and I was having to pay a lot of money. And so I finally asked her, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I clean up, I come and, you know, I pay you to clean up and it's still a mess.
Yeah.
And she told me flat out, you have too much stuff. And it just seems so simple. Like, that's the best advice. I mean, that's the only thing to say. And so I ended up stumbling upon minimalism around the same time that I started my debt-free journey. And it really had a huge impact on my life in so many ways. For one, of course, the money, because the more things that you're buying, that's more money that you're spending. Yeah. And then the more stuff that you're buying, the more stuff that you have to maintain. So it takes time to maintain those things. It takes time to clean. It takes time and money to organize all the bins, all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So what ended up happening was I did this huge purge, and I realized that By becoming a minimalist, it gave me more time to do the things that I was really passionate about because I was spending less time cleaning. And additionally, that very first purge, I had bags and bags of stuff, and it hit me so hard. Like, this is money. You know, I was active duty military, like, away from my kids from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. to buy these things that are now in a bag that's getting ready to go to Goodwill. Like, what am I doing in my life?
That is the best punch in the stomach. Like, it hurts, but man, it is effective.
Yes, and it was like eye-opening. Like, I mean, it was just, like you said, a punch in the stomach. And so I vowed never again. And it's so funny because once I got rid of everything, there was this echo in my house. It was just so, like, empty, but it was clear and, like, clutter-free, easy to clean. So then we ended up downsizing our home. So by downsizing our home, we then had, like, less electricity bills. Like, it took less utilities to run the house. The house stayed clean. So I wasn't, like, always, you know, harping on my kids about cleaning up and stuff, less laundry. It's just amazing. And then because I wasn't buying so much stuff, it kind of, like, accelerated our financial goals. So
how many square feet did you guys go from and to, like, what was your,
we went down from, okay. So originally when we first downsized, we were kind of at the end of our debt-free journey. So we went from a 19 square foot house to a 1200 square foot house.
Yeah.
And then we purchased a home And that house was 2,700 square feet. And then we downsized again to a 1,400 square feet. So
wow.
I mean, when we purchased the house, we got a really good deal on it. And it ended up being a rental property, but it was just so empty. Like,
yeah,
it was so empty. And I just realized, like, even though we can afford this big house, we really don't need it. So.
Yeah. We literally have like the same story. I'm telling you, like, that's exactly how my story went. Like, the minimalism and the budgeting, it just went hand in hand. It just made so much sense. Right. It was just like, what are we doing? And ours kind of like, you know, my husband works offshore. And so I was kind of the same way. I'm seeing all this crap, basically just clutter, nothing, like waste of money. And I'm like, I spent 3 weeks without him. Like, he stays gone 3 weeks at a time. Wow. He's gone literally half the year. And I'm like, for what? For this stuff? Like, this is ridiculous. And it just, man, it was a whole entire life flip. Like, everything changed for us. And it's just like, it's exactly like you said. Like, it's not just, like, it is the money, first of all, but it's your time. It's the laundry, it's your stress, like, it is everything.
Your mind, sanity.
Yes.
The larger your family is, the more laundry that you have.
I know.
And, oh, goodness, it's just, yeah.
We could talk for a whole hour about laundry and children. Yes. And where, how, like, I don't know. They must wear like 4 or 5 outfits a day. I don't understand.
Absolutely.
It's just crazy. I couldn't imagine, like, I do plenty of laundry now. I do plenty of cleaning now in this tiny 750 square foot house. I can't imagine going back to our 3,000 square foot house.
Yeah. Nope. And then the pressure to buy, like, yes, decor and furniture to fill it up. And yep, then you're filling up rooms that you really don't even use. Like,
yep,
that's, at least that was our experience.
So. Yeah, exactly. Ours was exactly the same way. And I think it really leads into that whole, it's the mindset, it's the contentment, it's the quote unquote American dream. And it's, you know, it gets us into this like black hole of just, it just sucks you in. And then it spills over to what clothes you're wearing, what kind of car you're driving, where you're going out to eat. Like, it's everything is for that appearance of, hey, we're doing good, but underneath, you know, everything is crumbling. And one of your frugal tips that you mentioned as well was buying older cars. And I just had a podcast episode go up, it'll be a couple episodes before this one, about our experience with buying our used vehicles and cash and all that. So I'll link to that in the show notes for anyone who hasn't listened to that yet. But I would love to hear kind of more of your experience about your frugal cars.
Well, it's interesting because the very first vehicle that my husband and I purchased together, it was a used car.
Yeah.
And we weren't on our financial journey at all. And then the second car that we purchased was a brand new car. And it turns out that car was a mess. It's a van, and we still have both of our cars. But the first car, we still have it. It has sentimental value. So when I'm pulling up next to someone and they have a newer car and they're looking down on me, I'm like, I brought 3 babies home in this car.
Yep.
My husband gave me my first kiss in this car. So yeah, it holds a lot of sentimental value. Additionally, I think a lot of this buying new cars, I mean, for some people, they want the new car for the warranty and the safety and all that kind of stuff. And I understand that. But for some people, it's just for show.
Yeah.
And that comes with the price. You know, buying a car off, like, brand new off the lot, it loses so much value. And at this point in our financial journey, it just doesn't make sense for us.
Yeah.
So right now, what we are doing is just paying ourselves a car note every month. And the more money that we have saved, the nicer the car. So right now, we do have enough money to buy a car cash, but for me personally, now that I have the money, I don't want to spend it.
Yeah.
That raggedy van that I have right now, I'm like, well, it's not so bad.
Yep.
Still driving. It has like 150,000 miles on it, but I just knew that once I got the money saved up, I was going to replace it. But now, like, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I am. Like, I'm so comfortable. And I'm just kind of one where I get in my husband calls it my little nest. Like, I just kind of get comfortable and I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. And my Suburban is, it just hit 199,000 miles. And wow. I'm just like, oh, I don't want it. Like, I'm going to just not drive it because I don't want to see it at 200,000. But I'm just, you know, I'm kind of good. You know, yeah. My dream is to have a Range Rover. I love Range Rovers. They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, you know, okay, if I get to a point in our journey where I have $80,000 or $90,000 in cash, maybe.
Right.
But now I'm just like, who cares? You know, this car, it gets me to the grocery store. It gets my kids to dance class. There's plenty of room for car seats. We're good. Like, we're good. And I like how you mentioned like the warranty and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I have kind of found in my experience that just from kind of watching other people's journeys and stuff that when people say like the warranty, the reliability, all that, I feel like, you know, cars still break down even when you have a note on, like having a note doesn't just guarantee that they're not going to break down. And also I feel like, you know, all that money that you threw into your car note, you could have been saving it. And then when your car broke down, you would have had a savings account.
Right.
And it really wouldn't be an inconvenience if it broke down, which is our cars have broken down. Our truck, when we had our other truck that when it had a note, it broke down several times when we still had a note on it. It's just kind of a false sense of security, I feel like. What do you think? Like, have you experienced that as well?
I think so, too. I think that when people, not everyone, because some people just want a new car and they just want a new car, you know. But for some people, I think that they tell themselves that to make themselves feel better. And I also wanted to mention that mindset is a big deal. So I think in American society right now, people think that having a nice car makes you rich. You look rich, but there is a difference between being rich and wealthy.
Yes.
And knowing that the everyday millionaire, the majority of them drive used cars, I look at my car as like a badge of honor, kind of like I've made it, like I'm still driving it. It's 150, it has 150,000 miles on it, but it's still working. And I'm one of those, you know, everyday millionaires. Well, I'm not a millionnaire yet, but do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm
right
on the
making.
Like, if I'm in the same car, I don't have a car note, then I'm on the right track. And then also, sometimes when I feel bad, because I do get car envy sometimes.
Yes, I do too, because we're human.
Yeah, I'm like, I want it, because I really want an SUV, actually. It's funny that you mentioned that, but I can't seem to bring myself to make the purchase because I'm afraid of the gas mileage.
Yeah.
But anytime that I'm really wanting a new car or I get those little side looks like, you need a new car, I just look at my bank account and I'm like, okay, if I really wanted one or if I really needed one, I could purchase one for cash or in cash. And so that makes me feel a lot better. So I just would say to someone who's having that struggle that once you have that money in the bank, you really don't care. you're less likely to just drop money on a brand new car just because.
Yeah, because the journey of the couple of years of the in-between, you have grown so much as a person. Your mindset has completely changed. And, you know, we're getting to the point in our journey where my husband was able to upgrade his truck last February, and he upgraded, which our version of an upgrade is a 2012. And that's our version of an upgrade.
Nice.
So it's still older, but he was able to get a bigger truck. He got a diesel truck, and that's really what he wanted. He really got what he wanted, and it was a 2012. And it's just so crazy that, yes, like, he did go up. He did upgrade. He did drop $25,000 in cash on the truck, but it was still – he was still smart about it. You know, and it was still a frugal purchase, even though it was a $25,000 truck. That's not cheap, but it was still frugal, right? Like, because your mindset has changed so much.
Yeah, I remember you posting about that on Instagram as well. I was so proud of y'all. When he took the cash to the bank and they were asking him, like, how he was going to finance it. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, that's already been a year ago. Like, I can't believe it. So crazy. Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories, and Conrad made a meme of it.
I remember that.
Yes. I was like, I told my husband, I was like, you made it, you got memes, so you're good. You're good to go. But yeah, it was awesome. And it was a couple weeks ago or so, we were driving home, I think from my grandparents' house, and we're in the truck and we were talking about the old days of when we dated, because we dated in high school, and he had this beat up Ford Ranger, which, you know, it's a tiny truck, and even his radio had gotten stolen. Like, they smashed the window, they stole his radio, his heater was broke, and like all these things. And I dated him all through this. And I told him, I was like, you know, if you need to know my loyalty, I was with you in the days of the stolen radio and the no heater. I literally remember shivering on dates with you. Oh, and we've made it together. Like, this is, it's crazy. It's so crazy. But it's the years in between of, like, you really do change and you really do grow. And when you get to that point, you know, you've grown so much as a person, you're not going to go and do something stupid when you do have $20,000 or $30,000 in the bank. You're just not, because you've grown so much, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So what are some of the other frugal tips that you have? Like, what do you think has really been the biggest thing, other than obviously like your house and your cars, because obviously those are just more expensive things, so those have the biggest effect. But what other things do you think have really helped you guys?
Okay, so as far as frugal tips, I would say know your triggers and avoid them at all costs, because a lot of the times it's the death by a thousand cuts. It's the $5 here, $10 there. So for me, that trigger was Target, and I just had to like stay away. And I noticed that the less I was going to Target, the more money would remain in my bank account.
Yep.
Yeah. And then along that line as well, staying out of the stores, period. So I went to like once a month shopping versus going every week, because every time I go into a grocery store, it's almost like I would use grocery shopping to replace my regular shopping.
Yes.
Come out with way more stuff than I needed. So just avoiding the stores is another one. Meal planning is a huge one, because I think for a lot of people, food, after like your housing costs, like your utilities and your mortgage and rent, I think food is like the next highest thing. And so by meal planning, we were able to save a ton. So even though we're a family of six, we're spending about $500 to $600 on food a month. And some days I could even get that down, just depending on our meal plans and pantry challenges. Yeah,
that's really impressive. That's really impressive. We're just like, our kids are all hitting growth spurts right now, and I've just noticed our grocery budget going up. Like, I keep going, I've went over budget the past handful of weeks probably on groceries, and I'm just like, I don't like this. They're eating more. I'm going to have to, because I had really kind of started to loosen the reins a little bit on our spending, because we're, you know, so far into our journey, and I was like, you know what? If I want an extra box of cookies, I am getting an extra box of cookies. But now they're just like all on growth spurts, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you kids, like, it's expensive to feed kids, but I think that it's also, it's not an excuse. Like, mm-hmm. Obviously your groceries are going to be more than someone who has no kids, of course,
right.
But it can still be done. And I think that, you know, families like yours with four kids, when you're being that frugal, like, that's awesome. Yeah.
Now, another thing is that we do shop primarily at Aldi. So Aldi is like, oh my gosh.
We don't have one here. No, it's like an hour and a half away. And I'm not about that. I'm not about that life. I'm not sure.
Walmart grocery pickup for you.
Yep. It keeps me out of the store. And I just go, I get what I need, and I come back home. And I'm like, no temptation, no end caps. Nope. Not happening.
Now, the Walmart grocery pickup, though, a good thing about that is you can kind of, like, you know your budget, and so you put things in the cart, and you know, like, if you're going over, just let's go and take some things off. So
yeah,
I do like that aspect.
Yeah, it totals it up for you, and I'll be the first one to, like, and it's a little bit of a love-hate relationship with it, because I feel like, in a way, it's, you don't have that pain factor as much, you know, because it's kind of sort of shopping online because you're just adding groceries on the app. And it's not that pain factor. Like, you don't see that your shopping cart is overflowing like you would, you know, at a regular store.
Yeah.
And so then I'll be the first, like, I go and I'll add, you know, produce, and I'm like, 8 apples. And then I see the total and I'm like, okay, we really only need like, I'm going to minus that a little bit. Okay. I'm getting control, you know? But yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of my triggers was Walmart, Target, like the end cap, the seasonal stuff. All the seasonal stuff. You know, I was actually at Walmart today for getting June's birthday stuff, and like the Easter stuff is out, the spring stuff is out, and I'm like, don't look, don't look, don't look. That's a huge trigger. But, you know, I have learned that about myself. And so I plan accordingly. If I go in, I have to either I know I'm going to buy spring stuff and I have a budget set, or I just don't make eye contact with it.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So any other frugal tips that you think have been really helpful that you would like to share?
I know definitely having a budget. A budget has really, really helped us. I think that's pretty much a given one. I wanted to say thrifting and clearance, looking on the clearance rack.
Yes.
And recently I've found that thrifting, it can take a lot of time and energy. So what I prefer to do is actually get stuff off of the clearance racks, in particular, like clothes for the kids. I get them off season for the next year. So that saved me a lot. What else?
And I know in one of your videos, you talked about hand-me-downs, which I think are really great, which it is kind of tricky with the whole minimalism, because if you don't want to be just storing clothes that are raggedy and like, okay, they're not really going to wear them when they get to that size anyway.
Right.
But we do a lot of that. And we have a few friends who have girls that are a couple of sizes ahead of my girls. And I'm always like, I text them and remind them. I'm like, hey, you know, if you're getting rid of clothes, hit me up. And it's really, really helpful. Especially for June, because, you know, she's the biggest and she doesn't have hand-me-downs. So befriend kids that are a couple sizes bigger. Oh, that's your frugal tip. But no, it really is handy. So even her friend, like, you can get hand-me-downs from friends, and I'm not ashamed to text them and remind them. I'm like, hey, you know, if you want me to buy them from you, even I'll totally cheaper.
Yeah. I love hand-me-downs. Love hand-me-downs. And then also, like, your electricity is another one. Like, yes. I just put out a video about saving thousands on electricity, but really being just conscious of the lights being turned on, like turn the lights out when you leave. And I don't know, for me, like, the bigger the house, of course, the more electricity that you're going to use. So you have to kind of come up with strategic ways of saving money there. So. Yeah.
But it's like, it's what you said about like the death by a thousand cuts, you know, it is the big things, but it's also the little things. You know, if you need to downsize your house, that's going to be a big thing. But then also you kind of juggle the little things as well. You know, it is the groceries here and there. It is the lunch out. It is all those little things too. And they add up. They really do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this was a great talk, and I know that we could sit here and talk for hours. Probably we just, you know, we have so much in common. I love your story, and I love, you know, I didn't realize that our stories paralleled so much. So that's really awesome. And I'm just like, now I'm even more of a fan of yours than I already was.
I'm a fan of yours too, even more. Like, we live parallel lives.
I know, we do. We do. You guys were in Texas, right? Is that right?
Yes. We were in League City, Texas.
Yes.
And now we're at Fort Benning, but we're getting ready to move back to Texas.
Awesome.
So yeah, we'll be in Fort Hood, which is around like Killeen, Harker Heights, Temple area.
Yes.
So, yeah. And we're going to be doing a meetup there too. So
awesome. You'll have to let me know, because we're like in between Houston and Dallas. So okay. Like, Houston's like 2 hours, Dallas is like 3 hours. So we're right here in the middle of nowhere between Houston and Dallas.
Yeah.
So
well, we consider League City Houston. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, people were talking, a lot of people have been talking about meetups and stuff lately. Everybody's getting meetups together in the debt-free community. And I'm like, I'm just going to assume I'm going to have to drive 2 or 3 hours. So.
Yeah. Me and Aubrey from the Frugal Freaks, we're trying to get one together for this summer. So she's going to get she's somewhere close. I forgot where she said she's at, but she's close to like Colleen Temple area.
Yeah. Yeah. So people have to, you guys let us know if anyone listening is in our area, then we'll definitely have to, you know, have everybody on that list. I'm starting to like compile a list of all of my Texas friends who I know that are close so we can like start to do more meetups and stuff. So I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So,
thank you so much for coming on and sending your kids out for ice cream so we can have this chat. Yeah. And I'm going to link in the show notes to all of your links, your Instagram, your YouTube. You guys have to go and check out her YouTube videos. I mean, 12,000 subscribers, don't lie. Like you're putting out some awesome stuff and you're so fun to follow on Instagram. So again, I'll link to everything and you guys go check out her videos, follow her on Instagram and let us know if you guys are in our area. So maybe we can do a meetup for sure. Let me know if you guys are going to do a meetup. Yeah, that's super
cool. And thank you so very much for having me. It has been such a pleasure and so fun. Like just two girls chit chatting.
I know. We're just in here. I'm literally drinking my coffee. It's my evening coffee. And we're just, you know, hanging out.
Yeah, definitely. So,
right. Yeah. Thank you so much again, you guys. Make sure to share this episode. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. Leave us a review. Let us know what you thought about this interview and share it with your friends. That's what helps this podcast grow. Thank you guys so much for hanging out, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.